Welcome to Curious Connections, a podcast about how asking one simple question of yourself can create new opportunities that lead to lifelong connections. That question is, what don't I know? Every 2 weeks, we will sit down with interesting and unique people to learn more about them and their ideas about connection. I'm Sean Winchester, and today we have two guests on the show. Dr. Dina Evan is a marriage, family, and child therapist and consciousness counselor, and Carrie Winchester is a speech pathologist and a mind-body nourishment coach. Today, we're here with our guest, Dr. Dina, again, and another special guest who we hope will help speak with us today, and that's my wife, Carrie Winchester. And today, we are talking about the ideas surrounding how we feel when we try to meet new people and how technology can impact that. And what are the reasons why we're so uncomfortable with actually meeting people face-to-face? And as I've discussed with some people who are in their late 20s, mid to late 30s, I'm hearing a message that states that they're really fearful about being judged for who they are in the physical sense. So I wanted to speak with Dr. Dina today to see what insights she might have about this thing that we're dealing with now in our society. So, Dina, if you'd like to share some of your thoughts.
Just a little tiny topic.
Oh, yeah. Might take a while. But
yeah, well, first of all, I think it's a really important topic. Yeah. And who are the models that just quit doing the bathing suit things? Here's a good example. Victoria's Secret has stopped doing their shows because they felt that they were putting forth this idea of too much perfection, body for perfection. And there are lots and lots of retailers now adding additional sizes. Part of the problem is that our society has put forth the illusion that in order to be loved, you must be perfect. And what does perfect mean? You have to weigh 102. You have to be blemish-free, and you have to be within a certain age bracket. And if you're not, then you cannot expect to be loved. And that is not realistic, because we all have a blemish. We all have things that we don't particularly like about ourselves, and it's part of what makes us who we are. So the first thing I want to say is, and we may have to do a podcast on this, is how do we learn to love ourselves so that other people can love us?
What's interesting about this also is that in our digital world with the online profiles and things like that, there's a lot of fixing, you know, fixing things that they find imperfect in themselves visually in order to create a persona that others will want to engage with.
Well, I would venture to say about 80% about what people put online is probably not accurate. Yeah. So I don't want to be inauthentic here. So first I want to say I have great value for social networking and our age of the internet. I'm very involved in it. Here we sit getting ready to do a podcast, right?
Yeah.
I have a website, drdinaeva.com, that has all kinds of tools you can go download and videos that Sean and I have made and all kinds of good things. So let me say I have a deep appreciation for that. I also think it has some flaws. And so some of the things I'd like to talk about are what we're discovering about social media and texting and what it is doing to our relationships to make us feel even more unsure about ourselves. So some of the things, for instance, excessive texting, they're now proving in many places, a lot of the studies they're doing, adds to depression because you can't get the satisfaction you need from it, right? It's like obsessive compulsive drug. You know, the more you do, the less satisfying it becomes, and therefore the more you do, right? And so it's not helpful. And we get to the point where we say anything we want to say without any awareness of what the ramifications of that are. See, I can say, I think that was a really stupid comment, and I can't see your face when you receive that message, right? So I don't know how I've wounded you. I don't know if I've wounded you. I don't know if you're angry. I don't know what's going on the other end of that. And so how does that equate to us building relationship?
Right. We can't see the human cues that we'd normally see.
No.
Those visual cues of how did that comment affect you?
Can I
tell you're upset?
Right.
And
there's so much more. I want to talk about those cues because I think there's a broad basket of those cues that we're missing. Social media has also contributed us to isolating more. Because the more that we're on social media, the less comfortable we feel about going out. I have clients who never go out. They're online with their friends. I was shocked to ask one of my clients who does the gaming thing on thing. Do you guys meet every once in a while? No. Who are these people that you're playing? I don't know. Do you know where they live? No. It's only wrapped up in the game.
Yeah.
And that's the only socializing they do. So we used to hide behind this process if we have social anxiety. And it empowers that social anxiety because this is so much easier. We can sit in our dirty little t-shirt. So we can sit in our not dressed clothes. We can sit with our beard or our hair not done and feel perfectly fine communicating. And we don't have to put forth the effort to change the things we don't like about ourselves, right?
Right.
And so that's part of it. It enables this fake self and a lack of self-acceptance, I think. If I don't have to show you who I am, if you just believe I'm this fake person, then why do I have to change anything? It reduces a conscious connection. And we can begin to ignore the people around us, even in our own surroundings. Because it's easier to retreat to the room where your computer is, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or right now, even your cell phone when you're out. So you can be in amongst hundreds of people, and you are only looking at a 4-inch screen in front of you.
Blows my mind. And I see people that you know have been together 40 or 50 years, and they're not even looking at each other. And I think to myself, what must you have to say to each other that would be so wonderful? And you've got your nose plugged into that damn phone, you know? What happens?
The other day at the cancer center, I saw this young couple sitting side by side, and one of them was a patient, and the other one was clearly their loved one. And they had their phones out side by side, looking at different things, not spending time speaking with each other, instead just getting lost in the technology of whatever they were looking at.
Breaks
your
heart.
Instead of even sharing one screen together so that they could be experiencing it together.
That's a good point.
At a time where this is where connection needs to happen.
Right. And what do we need most in our world today? Connection. Because it's really easy to make somebody else an other.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's where we're going.
Right.
If you don't agree with me, you're an other. And then I can persecute you. I can label you. I can punish you. I can diminish you. I can make you less than who you are. So it's really scary. And we don't speak to each other with empathy and understanding. Right. I mean, in those circumstances, we don't stop to say, okay, I hear that you're thinking something different than I am. Tell me about that. I want to learn why you're thinking that way. You know, I want to learn something new about you. And so we the touch, the smell, the sound, the observation of all the body cues are gone. Absolutely. And social media reduces our opportunities for everyday social contact. We don't even talk to people on the phone.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, we're not even talking to them when our phone is right there in front of us. We're texting.
So now we have no vocal cues.
Right.
You can often tell when people are angry through their vocal cues.
Oh, yeah.
Or being sarcastic. None of that comes through in a text message.
Much easier to say, someone's at the door, I'll talk to you later.
Right.
Click.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is always helpful. Yeah. And it decreases our intimacy. And what we've proven with that scientifically is dopamine releases with an influx of notifications, like, if I know that you really care about me, then my dopamine and serotonin levels go up. But I can't tell that on a phone conversation where we're texting. And if somebody has, I remember somebody in California, I had a client who had 185 friends on her phone that she told every single thing that was going on in her relationship and marriage about. Can you imagine how safe her husband felt? I mean, unbelievable. But that's what so many people are doing. We're not talking to each other. And they couldn't talk to each other when they were in here because they couldn't figure out how to do that. You know, we were giving tools to turn around and look at each other, you know, say what you just said to me to her, say what you just said to me to him, because we don't have that experience anymore.
Right.
And we're afraid. What are we afraid of? What you started out with, that we're going to be rejected. And I think the bottom under that, what we're not saying is, I really want you to love me exactly as I am, and I'm afraid you won't. But we make it impossible for somebody to love us exactly as we are because they don't know who we are.
Right.
Yeah. So almost 50% of the people today talk about feeling jealous when they receive less posts or less positive posts than others. Sometimes on the Facebook, because I have a Facebook page, people will say, if you guys like me, respond to this email. So I have a prohibitive statement about that. I say, do not do that. That's called blackmail. Yeah. And I may be busy with a sick child and not post to you. Does that mean I don't love you? Or I may be busy, you know, speaking something important to my partner. Does that mean I don't love you? Do not threaten on this website, because that's a terrible thing to do. And people feel bad about that. So if you see a manipulative text on social media that says that, just respond, I love you, but I may not text back. Period, the end, and let it go. And one of the things we want to talk about, too, I think, is that over-texting is not an act of honesty. You know, we think that the more we text, the more honest and open we're being. Chances that's not true. Chances are you're over-texting because you feel insecure, right? Because you're trying to fill a hole in you. And it's not about honesty at all. And I want to say again, at the same time, I'm grateful for the internet. I'm grateful for our social media. If it's used in a socially responsible way that has values and limits. So now let's talk about something that Carrie was talking about. The difference between social media and face-to-face meetings is that it allows all emotions to be expressed. You were talking about that too. Yeah. When you're looking at me, you know what I feel. When you're not looking at me, you can't know what I feel. And what we're finding is that relationships go deeper and last longer if they're face-to-face, whether it's a friendship or a couple relationship. It doesn't matter. Family relationship, friendship, or couple relationship. Because the connections are deeper. They're energetic. You can see them. You can feel them. You know what's real. And it strengthens our social ties. Multi-sensory connections evoke more feeling. We can look into somebody's eyes. We can reach out and touch them. If we have a question about, did you understand what I just said? We can ask. You know, we can look at it and think, okay, well, something doesn't feel right here, so tell me what's going on. Right. You know, did I say something that made you uncomfortable? And we can't do that if we're just texting. There's no way. So, we're also able to observe the other person's body language and gestures, which deepens sensory empathy. How do you have empathy in a text?
You don't.
You can't.
I mean, isn't that a huge statement?
Right. No, you can't. You cannot begin to empathize if you can't read whether a person is truly upset or not, or have a sense even when you're in the same room with somebody who's going through something that's very difficult, you are going to have a sense that something's wrong. That's what triggers you to ask the question.
Right.
But you can't get that in a text.
No.
The other thing that I have noticed with texting is when you have long streams of text, what happens when the pauses occur between texts?
Oh, good point. What do you think happens?
You ask a question and it's very important to you that it's answered.
Right.
But that person decides not to answer for 10 minutes. Of course, now you're, did I say the wrong thing? Do they not like me because of what I said? All those insecurities just kind of expand.
I get ticked. I get ticked. Yeah. Because somebody will text me and they'll ask me a question. I will answer it and then they disappear. Now, I know they're doing something else, right? They're off already to something else, or they're taking care of something else. And my question is, why did you text me in the first place? Now I'm sitting here waiting for you to respond, and you're doing something else. Weird. It's weird.
How important was my answer?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing is it face-to-face relationships are really more important because there's an opportunity to edit. You know, you're not going to be able to forward it to 20 people to get people on your side. You know, you're not going to be able to, there's less opportunity for misunderstanding because you have all the social cues, you know. So there are great gifts to face-to-face relationships. I think one of the first things we're going to say is we don't have time. How do we deal with that? What do you guys think about that? How do we deal with this issue? We don't have time to do all that face-to-face stuff.
Well, I think you have to make time. And I think once you do make time and finally experience it, I think you'll want to do it more frequently.
Exactly. In fact, the scientists tell us that in order for us to be healthy human beings, we need at least 3 to 5 people in our lives that we feel really close to. And my sense of it is, if we had like lunch once a week with one of those 3 to 5 people, we'd be texting less. Because it's so much more satisfying, you know, to be able to sit with somebody and really feel that connection and your heart and your soul and know that that person really cares about you and you really care about them. And you can walk away with such a much more full feeling that's so much more gratifying. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It's like being present in the moment. And
exactly.
It's like you said, when people are texting, they're usually doing 20 other things and it's multitasking.
Right.
And how do you come back to the question of, do you have time? It's, you have the time. It's, what do you choose to do with the time?
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah. So if you're going to text, you know, then stop and text and do that. Better yet, call me.
Yes.
Or come, let's have lunch. Yeah. So relationships can only deepen in person to the fullness if we have a face-to-face connection, because too much information is lost if we don't. So relationships for me are a little like walking into a beautiful forest. You know, if you stand outside on the road, you're going to get something. But if you walk into the forest, you're going to see the beauty of the forest. You know, you're going to feel the air. You're going to breathe, you know, the trees and the scent and the sounds and the aliveness that you don't get from the road. You know, it's the same thing. It has so much more enriching quality and ability than sitting on the side of the road. And I kind of see texting in that way. So issues that arise can be resolved a whole lot easier when we commit to face-to-face communication instead of just hanging up or deleting. You know, if there's an issue, I don't want to walk away with an issue hanging in the air, and I don't think anybody else does either. But we're afraid, and maybe it's what you said in the beginning, maybe we're afraid of being judged if we bring something up. You know, I'd rather not have a friend than have a friend who judges me.
How
will I know if they judge me if I don't talk to them?
That's right. I mean, that's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Without that interaction, judgments that I'm thinking of, are they true or not true? We don't know that.
Right. And how can I be a better person if you never judge me and tell me what I need to change?
This is true.
You know?
Part of being a friend is also pointing out the hard stuff we have to learn about ourselves too, right?
Yes. Yeah. And if somebody never says to you, it hurt my feelings when you said XYZ, how do I know not to say XYZ again? You know, there's no way I can. I think for me and the work that I do, you know, you and I together have often called it soul work. And I think it is soul work, because if I don't hone my soul in order to be a better person, what's the point in being here? And I can't do that unless I get feedback from you. And that feedback can't come through a text because it's too easily misunderstood. I can add things to it that may or may not be true, like you really don't like me, you don't care about me, you know, you're talking to everybody else about me, whatever my mind in its insecurity wants to add, but it doesn't help my soul work or theirs, you know. It helps me to say to you, I could hear that better if you say it to me differently, Sean. See, that then I can see that I'm standing up for myself. I'm my own best friend here. And I trust you to hear that in a way that you know that's not an offensive thing. And what do we have out of that? We have a deeper relationship. We've built greater trust. Can't do that in a text.
That's true. One thing that I just thought of that was interesting is that in these close human relationships that we can make, this is where the really rich memory embedding happens, mm-hmm. where those things that you experience together physically become part of your memory, and mm-hmm. they are forever embedded in that. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate thing about any other form of communication, you may be able to look back at a text, but it will never have the richness and the quality of that memory that you've built together.
Right. That memory becomes tapestry of your soul. But how many times 6 weeks later are you going to go back and remember a text you got?
Only if you want to fight about it, I suppose.
If we still haven't resolved it over text, yeah, we might have to go back and look at it. But chances are you're going to blow it off, trash can it, and forget it. Because it's easier. It's easier. We don't have the same level of commitment to each other. And I think what is really so important, in addition to all the things we're talking about, is that if we want to be healthy human beings, we need to balance our life. We, you know, this social media can be part of our life, but it can't be all of our life. And we have to discover for ourselves, how does it become a positive part of my life? And how can we limit it in a way that it doesn't take over our lives? And I think it's also, you know, we've talked a lot on the podcast you and I have done about boundaries. You know, and boundaries can't be respected in a text. Because I don't know where your boundaries are. You know, I can say anything I want to you and walk away feeling perfectly fine about it.
Right. Not knowing whether it was offensive to you or...
Or not even caring. Because there's no ramification. I don't have to see your sadness. I don't have to see your disappointment. I don't have to see I hurt you. I don't have to see how inappropriate and wrong that was. I can walk away thinking I'm just fine. That doesn't help us in any way. I could say who does that, but I won't. Okay. I think our listeners, if they're listening to your podcast, know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. So that, some of the other things, too, is being fully present with a person brings you into greater authenticity with yourself and with the other person. I mean, when I'm fully present with you guys, you walk out of here and I feel enriched and empowered and blessed, right? I don't feel that over texting. Ever. And when I get two-word responses from my kids, I feel hurt. I feel ticked. I feel like I'm not important. You know, you've got your life so filled with other things, you know, that you can't take 2 minutes with me. And whether it's your kids or your mother or your child or your friend or whoever it is, you know, we need to be able to allot time to build meaningful relationships. How do we learn to be a good person in the world if we're not a good person with each other? See, I think that's the bottom line here. How do I know how to go into the world and create a safer world that's more accepting, more loving, you know, more open to diversity, more any of those things, unless I'm doing it and practicing with you? We're missing all that. It's just, it's not helping us in any way. So experiencing a kindred spirit or soul connection can take on a lot of forms, like it's happening in many different relationships and contexts. But developing that connecting over social media, I think, is impossible, which is what I'm saying. You know, that's why we feel so differently when we're meeting together than we do when we're texting. So think about it for a minute. Aren't your deepest and most meaningful relationships the ones you built in person?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
That should tell us something. Yeah. I mean, I have friends that I've known for 20 years. I don't know a single person on social media for 20 years. Maybe 20 minutes. You know? So, and Facebook usage is associated with negative outcomes of high members of relationships and exposure after a breakup. Because once you break up with somebody on Facebook or some of the dating sites, People can say anything they want to about you that's hurtful and harmful. And that is not a way to build self-esteem. That's not a way to make anybody feel good. It's betrayal.
And in those cases where, like, you've known these people who have been in that relationship and now all of a sudden their lives have diverged. I mean, they've already, somebody's going to get more friends from a relationship than the other. But now it's so visible to everyone else. And I don't know how fair that is.
It's not fair, but why do we feel we have to pick sides to begin with?
True.
It's because of social media, right? Mm-hmm. If you're my friend, you can't be her friend. If you're her friend, you can't be my friend. And not only that, I'm going to splash all of our sexual pictures of you all over the internet, which is another horrible betrayal. You know, where does our consciousness come from if we never are able to see the hurt and pain on our partners, regardless of whether they're family or friends? You know, how do we know we're doing something that's really painful to somebody if I can't see it on your face? If you click off, I don't know what you're doing. I have no idea. So I can go do anything I want to you, and it doesn't make any difference. For me, that's a deep hole. That's a really bad space to be in. So one of our major reasons that people text is that they want is something you said right in the beginning of our process, Sean, is that they don't want their physical appearance or intellect or any other personal attribute to be judged. So let's talk about that. How can you have a meaningful relationship if you're not real? What are you going to do if you really care about somebody and you have really grown to like them over social media? At some point, you might want to see them.
Yeah, because you can't expect that is truly real.
No, you can't.
I mean, if you do, you don't realize how much you can also be manipulated into something that isn't true, right?
Yeah, and I'm guilty of that. I've been too lazy to go get a new picture for my website. So the picture on my website is probably 15, 20 years old. People can walk in and expect to see that. They're not going to see me.
Yeah.
You right? They're going to see me 20 years later.
That's right.
So I think it's so easy to do. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to do. Yeah. And so part of what we're talking about here is social media a way to avoid accepting ourselves? Is social media a way of not really loving ourselves?
I think when it comes down to when we feel we have to alter our own appearance as a method of trying to make ourselves feel better about ourselves, but really are we? We're actually changing something about us visually, but that's not going to make us feel better because we still know that in our own minds, those blemishes are still there.
Not only that, but you've already ruined your relationship. See, you don't have a relationship if it's already built on lies.
Right.
So there's no way anybody who is presenting themselves in a false way on social media or having pictures, I'm too old to be dating, but if I changed the way I put my website picture on a dating site, people would be very disappointed, you know? But if you're doing that, how can you possibly have a real relationship? There's no way you can do that. It's impossible because your relationship is built on a falsehood. But if I show you who I am, if I tell you who I am, and then you still call me, we have a chance.
It's about being able to see the soul.
Right. Exactly.
We're in a world where it's swipe left or swipe right and everything is based on the picture that's chosen or the profile that's posted, all of which may or may not be true.
Right.
And they're just waiting for that next better swipe.
Exactly.
They're not able, again, you're not able to see the soul of the person.
Exactly. And I think that's more about us than the other person. Mm-hmm. See, I think we have to look at what are we hiding from? And is it necessary for us to push our soul forward by being exactly who we are? And saying, I love myself, I'm proud of myself, I'm a good person, I have great ethics, values that I live, and this is who I am. If you're interested, call me. And I think a lot of people would go much farther in their dating process if they were able to do that, frankly.
Absolutely. I think about the fact that if you could be that open And you can show that other person that you're willing to be that open. Doesn't that give them permission to also consider being open?
Exactly. Exactly. And then what do you have? You have two souls meeting on an equal plane. And then you have a chance to have a real relationship. Because unless you do that, there isn't any chance. There's no way you can have an equal relationship if I'm not being me and you're not being you. So how do we get to that? How do we get to that place? I think we chance it. We just take a chance. You know, keep your social media stuff over here, but maybe put up another little site where you just describe yourself as exactly who you are and exactly what you like and exactly what you believe in and see what happens. You might find you get more, was it swipes to the right or swipes to the left?
I didn't know.
Whichever swipe you want, you might find you get more of those.
Right.
You know, if you're just being who you are, because as you said, it gives the other person permission to be exactly who they are. Yeah. So I don't want people out there listening to this to hear us saying social media is bad. Social media is good, but we have to catch ourselves in how we're using it and we have to ask ourselves, you know, am I being authentic? Am I really representing my values? If I was going to connect with somebody, would I want them to lie to me about who they are? You know, and how can I expect them not to lie to me about who they are if I'm lying about who I am? You know, so what is the best approach to take with social media? It's to be real.
Yeah, I agree.
To be real. No matter what the cost, no matter what you think the cost will be. And to make sure that you balance your time on social media with face-to-face relationships that are deepening, that are growing, that are becoming more and more meaningful. And I would encourage our listeners to just say, if you don't have it already, just pick out five people you'd really like to have a deeper relationship and maybe ask one of them to lunch every month and start to work on deepening your confidence that you're lovable and valuable and that somebody would want you in their life so that you can see it in action and you don't have to be so afraid, you know? Because without that, you're never going to know.
And I know in those instances where I know Carrie and I have even met with friends together, now you have, three people or four people together.
Yeah.
And the dynamic increases. And now all of a sudden there's so much more that you learn, you know, and conversations expand.
Yeah.
But it is all about taking a step forward and taking a chance and setting that date to do it.
Yeah.
And allotting the time.
One of the things I love that you said when you started when we started this project together is that you wanted to have dinners and you wanted to record those. I can't wait till we start hearing those. And so what I want to say to our audience is don't be afraid to go deep. You know, go deep. Go deep. Listen to something you never thought you could have accepted before. Listen to somebody who's telling you something that's totally different than anything you've ever believed before. And listen with an open heart and mind to see what part of that you can agree to. Because even if you can agree to one part of it, you have the connection.
Right.
Right? You may not. And do we all have to think the same? Do we all have to have the same beliefs? Do we all have to be in the same party? Do we all have to, political party? Do we all have to, you know, have the same ideas about aging? Or no, the world would be flatlined. It would be boring and disgusting. Who wants to live there? But I want to learn from you, I want to get in and swim in the deep end. I want to know more about myself and about you, but I can't do that if I'm not open. So I encourage you to trust yourself and leave your judgments at the door. You know, just don't walk in with any judgments about anything. The most important people in my life have been people that I would not have thought in a million years. An example is years and years and years ago when the kids were little, we were Jehovah's Witnesses for a while. And I was divorced and it was wonderful for me because Jehovah's Witnesses are a family. right? I don't agree with everything they teach, and so I left. But at that time, there was this wonderful woman in Jehovah's Witnesses named Irene Thorstad. She was probably 88 years old. And we became fast friends, and we would sit in the congregation, and when the guys would go up front and tell things that were incorrect, we'd look over and wink at each other and know that they were incorrect. And then they have something called going out in service. And going out in service means you go door to door with your magazines. In California, there are lots of hills and woody places that you go, and you have to climb up mountains and climb things to get to things. So I used to go in service with Irene Thorstad. Going in service with Irene Thorstad means we had a couple of experiences I want to share with you. The first one was we went to the door, and a man, totally nude, answered the door. That's how they live there. Yeah, it's in a canyon. It's okay. So I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we both said, without saying it, if they want to hear it, we're going to tell him. We're here to do that. So we sat and we talked about what we were sharing, and we did it for the whole time. And then he asked for our magazine, and we just said, bless you in your process, and we left. Now, I could have had a lot of judgments about that and walked away, right? Another time, we're out in the woods, and we're about to walk to somebody's door, and this ferocious dog started frothing at the mouth, barking at us. And I said, come on, Irene, maybe we have to get out of here, because I'm very protective of her. She's 80 years old. And she put her hand on my arm, and she said, they're all God's children. And she reached in her pocket, and she pulled out some nuts, and she offered them to the dog who came to eat out of her hand. That's where we ought to be. Everybody is equal on this planet, even the people that we disagree with. We need to be open to that. And so when we greet each other, let us present from our hearts and let us receive from our hearts, not our heads. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. If we can do that, it can change the whole dynamic of any situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Party lines will dissolve. Our sense of responsibility for the earth will return. Our sense of I need to be right and you need to be wrong will go away. You know, there's nobody in the world who is all right or all wrong. Nobody. And there's nobody in the world who is not part of the human family, as much as we'd like to deny that. Even the people we totally disagree with. They are master teachers teaching us what our level of acceptance is, what our level of allowance is, what our willingness to be open is, where our fears are, and how we can push our soul forward. You know, we have to be able to bless the people we disagree with the most.
And that's the hardest thing to do.
Yes, only if we're in fear that they can have an effect on us that they can't. See, if we're in a place of, I'm going to bless you because I disagree with you, who's in power? I am, because you're not going to affect me in the same way. But if I'm afraid to hear your truth, if I'm afraid to allow you to speak it, if I'm afraid that it means somehow something will be taken from me, then I'm going to put up a wall, as we have done in this country. And if you're not the same color, kind, if you don't love the same kind of person I love, if you don't believe in the same beliefs that I believe in, then you're going to become an other. And we can't afford to do that anymore. And it's easier on social media to do that than it is face to face.
Right.
Right.
One of the greatest things I've seen recently is the saying, equality isn't like pie. We can all share. Everybody gets a piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was very deep today. But also very, very poignant. And I really appreciate both Dr. Dina and my wife, Carrie, for being on this podcast today. I'm hoping this is reaching out to people and that they're really hearing it and engaging with it, because it is full of information that will really help us in starting to make some positive changes in how we interact with others and live our lives every day.
And I really appreciate you for making all this possible, because, you know, we started this a while back and we had no idea where it was going to go. And I think this is really important. So let me say to our listening audience, please check out the podcasts that are available. And if you go to my website, you'll be taken to Sean's website as well. And he has a lot of information on that website that you want to hear and see. Do you want to say the name of it in case they want to?
You can go to my website now, where all the podcasts are going to be hosted, is patreon.com/swinchester. And they will be all on that site.
But here's what I would ask of you. We have a job to do. And when I am saying we, it's an inclusive we. I'm going to ask you the theme of every website and everything I've ever said. Are you doing what you came here to do and being who you came here to be? If you're not touching someone's life each and every day with something positive, something that lifts their spirit, something that makes it possible for them to love themselves more, ask yourself, in my next encounter with someone, how can I do that? Because it is our job to do that. It is nobody else's job to change the world. It's yours and mine. We must be responsible for what's going on in the world. We created this. We created this division so we could see who we don't want to be and how we don't want to live. But what good is it if we're not doing how we do want to live and being who we do want to be? So please share this information with your friends. Send them to these podcasts. You can sign up on my site for weekly messages as reminders every single week. And here's the thing, everything is free on my website. We are offering this to you as a gift of spirit. Please share it. Send it out on the waves. Use the internet for something really wonderful, which is to offer people the opportunity to lighten up, get enlightened, and push their soul forward. And thank you for listening.
Thank you for being with us again today, Dina. And thank you, Kurt, for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us this week on Curious Connections. Make sure you visit drdinaevan.com to access all of the resources we mentioned today. You can connect with Carrie Winchester on Facebook at Carrie Winchester Coaching. Also, please consider becoming a patron for the show by visiting my Patreon page at patreon.com/swinchester. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, please share it with your family and friends. Be sure to tune in for our next episode in 2 weeks, where we will be speaking with Dr. Heather Paulson, a board-certified naturopathic oncologist. I'm Sean Winchester. Thanks for connecting with us. Remember, we are all connected.